Where Roses Fade, written by Andrew Taylor and read by Philip Franks.
Chapter 1. Another warm evening between another spring and another summer. The rivers were high. There had been much rain in the previous week, and now the water was draining down from the hills upstream. The Lydd rustled and surged between the piers of Newbridge. The water slid like a brown whispering snake down the Minnow, the broad tributary which joined the Lydd a few hundred yards north of Newbridge. The girl saw nothing of this. Her head swam as she sat up in the bath and turned on the hot tap. The Ascot heater above the bath belched and gave out a subdued roar. It was almost dark now outside, and the bluey-orange flames of the gas swamped the soft grey twilight. She adjusted the tap, gradually turning down the flow to increase the heat of the water. The temperature rose. She raised her right arm. The glistening skin was already rosy with the heat. "Christ," she muttered, "why are they so long?" Loneliness was the one thing she really feared. She lay back in the long bath and tried not to think about the fact that an old man had died in this house. He must have lain here time after time. The heat stung her skin like nettle rash. She lifted her leg away from the stream of water coming from the hot tap. That was the trouble with baths. You were either too hot or too cold. She needed it as hot as possible, as hot as she could bear. A few seconds later, she hooked her big toe around the tap and turned off the flow. The roaring stopped, the flames died, and in the darkening silence, she felt more lonely than ever. If only they hadn't run out of cigarettes. She put out her hand in the darkness, fingers outstretched, until she felt the tips brush against the glass. Not quite alone. She picked up her glass. The raw spirit had made the inside of her mouth numb. It was no longer hard to swallow. She felt suddenly superhuman, as though she could go on drinking and drinking. Perhaps that was the way to deal with the loneliness, to deal with everything. She put down the glass and let the fingers of her right hand slide through the water and trail down her body. Just skin and flesh and bone, after all. Why do men want it? Wouldn't it be simpler if none of us had bodies? They only get in the way. "Come on," she whispered, afraid to speak more loudly. "Come on, you stupid buggers. Where are you?" The sky beyond the window was almost black. She saw half a dozen pinpricks of light, the stars. The window was open a few inches because she had not wanted to run the risk of condensation. She thought she heard movement outside. It was almost like slow, stealthy footfalls. Perhaps they were coming back. But the bathroom was at the back of the house, overlooking the lawn which sloped down to the Minnow, and they would come to the front. Perhaps she had imagined the noise. Shivering despite the heat, she hugged herself and listened. No sound now, apart from a faint rustling, which might have been the leaves of the chestnut tree near the river. She was imagining things. She had always had too much imagination for her own good, everyone said so. What she needed was a drink. She stretched out her hands to the glass again, then remembered it was empty. She should have told them to leave the bottle up here. Need to settle my nerves. She sat up in the bath, clasping her arms around her knees. The evening air was cooler now, and she felt a chill across her shoulders. The thought of that squat green bottle glowed in her mind like a vision of the Holy Grail. It would be in the morning room at the back of the house. They had sat there when they had first arrived because there was less risk of being seen. She moistened her lips, running her tongue over the slight tackiness of the lipstick. She would need to repair her makeup. Later, though. First things first. And the first thing of all was another drink. She should have had the bottle upstairs. It was bloody stupid leaving it downstairs. She wasn't going to put up with it. She clung to the side of the bath and slowly hauled herself to her feet. Suddenly it was much colder. The night air lapped around her body like a tide.